What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Shaletta is out the door. Steve Thompson in a little early today. Josh Wheeler is our producer. And a little bit earlier today, I was trying to get some yard work done because the cold weather's coming back. We don't see any major snow events, so there's still time to pick up leaves. And oh, by the way, I have a maple tree that refuses to give up all its leaves. All the other trees in the yard are done. I'm getting very close to getting it all cleaned up. But if you're still in the midst of doing that fall cleanup and you live in Ramsey County, we've got the man in charge of the Yardways program with Ramsey County, John Springman, joining us today. John, good to visit with you.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Yeah, John, do you have all your yard work done? Are you done for the year?
No, I am not. It's interesting. There's kind of this spectrum of how people manage leaves, from those who, you know, start raking as soon as the first leaf hits the ground. And I'm on the other end of that, where I want to wait until that last leaf is down before I rake, because I want to get it all done in one shot.
Yeah. You know, I have so many trees in my yard that once upon a time I had this machine I would pull behind my garden tractor and vacuum all those up, and I would do it multiple times. Then I talked to the folks over at the U who specialize in turf grass and say, one of the things you can do is kind of grind up those leaves, leave some of those in the turf, and then pick up the excess later. And that's my strategy now. So I do have a lot of leaves. I kind of grind them up so they don't get, you know, a foot and a half deep in some spots. But ultimately, with the excess, I take them off the grass and ultimately take them to the compost site. I do live in another county, but tell us how it works in Ramsey County. Where do people go? How does the program work?
Okay, for starters, I would recommend people go to our website. If they just Google Ramsey County Yard Waste, the first thing that comes up will be linked right to everything they need to know about how to use the Yard Waste program in Ramsey County. And, of course, you know, I know your audience is much larger than just Ramsey County, so I recommend that to anybody anywhere else is, you know, if you go to your local, you know, either government center or environmental service center websites, they tend to have that information readily available, because of course this time of year it's a very hot topic and people want to know where they can go with that material to manage it properly.
Now, in Ramsey County, how many sites are there?
We have 7 sites in Ramsey County, and this kind of goes along with, you know, we are geographically, you know, the smallest county in the state, so 7 is actually quite a bit. Yeah. But it kind of follows along the lines of Ramsey County's strategic priority, and which is, you know, to make sure our residential programs are effective, efficient, and accessible. And I think we've, you know, pulled that off with these yard waste sites, having that many and doing the things that we do at those locations. So, yeah, there's a lot One that's probably close to your home anywhere within 5-10 minutes in Ramsey County.
All right. So what are some of the do's and don'ts if you're coming to one of these sites? I know leaves are fine. I would assume grass clippings are fine. What do you accept? How should people bring it? Because I'm sure you don't want to deal with a lot of bags, et cetera.
Right. A good example is the bags. Although there are some compostable bags out there, we don't accept them at our sites just because somebody else might interpret that bag in the pile as a plastic bag, and then they feel that that's just what you do is you check your plastic bag with all its leaves in it, and then it's no good on the back end for managing the material. But again, on the website, it kind of identifies what's acceptable and what's not. I think, you know, with any recycling program, there are what we call contaminants, or things that shouldn't go in the pile. And yard waste, it's pretty straightforward. At our sites, we have 4 of the 7 that actually accept tree and shrub waste. So if that can be separate, you know, that should be separated coming into the site, where the shrubs and trees go on one pile and the sticks go on one pile, and then the leaves and grass and garden waste would go in a completely different pile, because both are managed differently in the end.
And by the way, we're being joined by John Springman from Ramsey County, managing yard waste in Ramsey County, Minnesota, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So you get this waste in. What ultimately happens to this? Because in the county I live in, Hennepin County, northern Hennepin County, so I go to the Maple Grove site. Typically, this stuff is turned into compost, which ultimately our residents can come back and get and put in their garden and in their landscape, and it's really good stuff.
Exactly. That site operates much along the same lines as one of our 7 sites. However, the other 6, because of just space limitations, we can only transfer everything that comes in back out. But in the end, it's going through the same process. We truck it back out to commercial sites in and around the metro area, where they compost it and turn it into what you're talking about, that great, you know, finished compost that makes a nice soil amendment that can be used for landscaping and gardening purposes.
And that is invaluable. If you talk to gardeners and experts about it, that's the stuff you want.
Oh, yes. We actually make it available from the one site where we can compost to our other 6 sites, in addition to the site where we're producing it in the spring. And we typically run out by about June, just because it is so well sought after, and realize that it is a very valuable product or material for landscaping and gardening.
All right, what are the hours? I would assume these sites aren't open year round. I know the one near my house in northern Hennepin County, they shut down fairly quickly. That's coming up soon.
Right. Ours are on our regular, what we call our regular season hours through November, and that's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11 to 7. Saturdays are 9 to 5, and Sundays are 11 to 5. However, we are open actually throughout the winter at our sites, because we offer some other services there, mainly food scrap collection that's collected in separate containers, basically garbage dumpsters at these locations. And we want to keep that program operating throughout the winter, so people don't have to engage and disengage and then re-engage again in the spring. So a lot of what comes in over the winter months is that material, but we still will accept any leaves that had been raked up previously and stored, that's probably about the best time actually to bring them in if you want to avoid waiting in line at one of our sites. I can guarantee you today somebody's probably waiting their turn to get into the site and listening to this program to pass the time, because I guarantee you they are busy today.
Yeah, no doubt. The weather is great today. Yeah. The weather is great tomorrow. No doubt the sites are super busy. Do you encourage people, when they can, if they have the room, to compost at home?
Absolutely. That's the first thing we encourage, because they would then be able to reap the benefits of doing that themselves with their own material. And there's some things to consider with it, too. As you know, just one tree, like you mentioned, your one maple that refuses to drop its leaves, can really generate a lot of material. So you have to have space allocated to do that. And I would think in greater Minnesota, of course, there's a lot more opportunity for that. And also to consider, you know, your local ordinances and such that they may require you to be so many feet back from a side lot or fence or property line, that sort of thing. So things to kind of consider if you're going to try that on your own. But that is definitely, reuse is kind of at the top of this, and you're kind of, you're still kind of recycling, but you're almost reusing what you're generating at that point. So we like to push that message the most.
Yeah, and it is one of those things where you definitely do want to get those leaves off the turf grass whenever you can before we move into the winter months, because it is no fun to pick that stuff up in the spring. I know we've had some early snows over the years, and the leaves get buried, and boy, it's easier to do it now than it is the spring, for sure.
Right, and that's what's actually recommended by the University of Minnesota Extension. The fall, it's much easier to manage, as you suggested, but also in the spring, if you leave it on site and it is at a depth, they recommend a maximum of 10 to 20% coverage of your lawn with leaves at the most, because otherwise you're going to probably have some turf problems. Leaves can, smother the grass and inhibit growth. They can create an environment for a snow mold to occur over the winter months. And then in the spring, if you do try to take it up then, you're kind of tromping around on your yard, which isn't really a good time of year to do that, as the fall frost is coming through and the ground is typically kind of saturated and wet that time of year. It's more beneficial to stay off of that. So, yes, fall leaf management is actually the best.
Yeah, and a couple other things for you before we go. What about people who have potted plants? Like I say, I like container tomatoes, and I have a number of those. Do the sites accept the remnants, that kind of garden waste, stuff that came out of the garden, stuff out of the pots, that really isn't reusable next year?
Right. We will accept that. However, there is some issue around accepting actually the dirt from those potted plants, and that's an invasive species called jumping worms. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that it doesn't make it through the composting process because of the temperatures that are involved. The eggs and the adults and the other stages of that pest cannot survive that process. So it's not an issue typically on the back end, but it would be an issue if somebody else were to come to the site and see one of those potted plants and think they want to take it home with them and try to maybe nurture it through the winter, or it could even create an infestation on the site itself, where we don't want that pest moving around and getting into some of the things we offer back to the public. So best that we don't accept those. There's more information on the DNR's website about jumping worms. Very interesting, but unfortunate pest.
Yeah, I don't want those. I don't want those jumping worms, that's for sure. John Springman calling us. Ramsey County Environmental Health Supervisor, who manages the County Yardways program. Time is running out. Get those leaves cleaned up and get them to your local site, whether you're in Ramsey County or another county, and check out all the information hours, etc. But time is certainly limited on that front. And John, what about the money side of it? If you're a Ramsey County resident, is the service free to drop off?
Yes, it is free drop-off. Again, this is going back to our a strategic priority of making this an efficient and effective program and accessible, is that there is no charge for dropping off. The system is funded by the county environmental charge, which is that fee you see on your trash hauling bill is based on the amount of trash you generate. So the less you generate and the more you recycle, the lower your fee will be for that. So it encourages recycling. But that's what kind of pays for the program, and that's what kind of makes us want to make sure that we're keeping this in-house to Ramsey County residents only. And I also want to mention, too, we do have a reciprocal use agreement with Washington County. So those residents can use four of our locations. And we have a joint powers agreement with the city of St. Anthony, because that city straddles both Hennepin and Ramsey County. And so just to avoid the confusion, we basically retain some of the recycling money from the state to fund that portion of their residents coming to our sites.
All right, John. Well, great update. Thanks for all the info today. And This is the weekend to get it done because it's going to get cold. Thanksgiving weekend and a holiday weekend, you don't want to be doing that sort of stuff. So get it done today and tomorrow.
I agree. It's going to get cold, and I've been there where I've tried to break up leaves that have been frozen to the ground. It's no fun.
Yeah, and my wife gets mad when I'm riding around out there trying to grind up and pick up leaves after work at night. You know, that kind of drives her crazy. So get out in the sun. It's warm today, and get things cleaned up. By the way, what's the website? Where do people go, particularly if they live in Ramsey County, to find out about the program?
Yes, again, easiest way is just Google Ramsey County Yard Waste, because the site actually can be a little bit long, the actual address. So Google Ramsey County Yard Waste, and it'll get you to all the information you need to know about the program.
Well, that is great. John, good to visit with you. Thanks.
You too, Steve. Thanks. Have a good day.
All right. There he is, John Springman from Ramsey County. He is an environmental health supervisor who manages the county yard waste program. And I've still got chores to do. I'm going to focus on that tomorrow. And we'll kind of get into that in a moment. What I still need to do in my yard before I can feel comfortable moving into the winter months. And a little bit later on in the hour, if you live in the northern suburbs of Minneapolis, light rail could be coming to your neighborhood. We'll get into that later on. Steve in for Shaletta a little early. Don't forget, later on in the program, Tech Talk with Doug. He'll be on the air between 3 and 4 o'clock today. We'll go outdoors with Steve Kearney at about 4:10. We'll get an update on all things hockey with Jez Myers at about 4:20 today. We have college football. Some teams still in action around the area. Tommy's still playing in the Pioneer League. D2-wise, Minnesota State at Augustana today. Bemidji State is down in Texas. They're playing Texas Permian Basin today. We should get game reports and all of that. Bethel on the road in D3. They're playing down at Whitewater, and they were getting beat 28-7 at the half. Meanwhile, Minnesota Morris was playing in the D3 playoffs as well. We'll have all those scores later on in the program. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
The Shaletta Show. Shaletta out a little early today. Steve Thompson and Josh Wheeler is our producer, and a big thanks to our guest joining us a little bit earlier, John Springman from Ramsey County. Get your yard work done. This is the weekend to do it. It was so warm earlier in the day. I had a couple of garden hoses that, if I'm really lazy in any given year, I'll obviously unhook them from the house. Then I'll just kind of let them lay. I mean, they're coiled up. But I leave them coiled up, and if they freeze and get covered with snow, I really don't care. I mean, they're tough. They're garden hoses. But this year and today, it was kind of like, it's pretty warm. And the sun's beating down on the driveway. So I took this semi-frozen coil, threw it on the driveway, let it thaw, drained them properly, recoiled those and put them in the shed. I think there should be some sort of homeowner award show that I get a medal for that. I felt really productive because with the garden hoses, then I think if they freeze and crack, they're not that expensive. I can always get another one next year. So I felt super productive earlier today. Properly draining and recoiling the garden hoses. Because it's one of those things, earlier in the fall, it's like, well, I may need that. You know, there's no reason to put it away now. I may need that hose. But here's what I've got to do tomorrow. And I don't know if you're done with your yard work, but this is what I need to do tomorrow. I have a leaf blower, and it's a real leaf blower. It runs on gasoline. I've tried the electric blowers. For the real heavy-duty work, they just don't have the oomph. So I've got this extension, this long tube that goes all the way up to the roof, and then it's got kind of a hook, so I'm able to use the blower to blow out all the gutters. So that's job one. Blow out all the leaves that have accumulated in the gutters and get those clean. Then once all those fall to the ground, blow all the remaining leaves away from the house. Then get on the old John Deere and grind them up. Final run. Hopefully that maple tree in the front yard is done by tomorrow. Get them all ground up and then put the bagger on the old John Deere and bag up all the excess. Then the final thing, put the old John Deere to bed in the shed and bring out the snow thrower. And make sure that the tires are inflated, it's lubed properly, the oil is right, and there is fresh fuel. And then, of course, the moment of truth. Firing up for the first time since last winter and making sure that I'm indeed ready to go for that inevitable big snowstorm. So that is what I have on my agenda tomorrow. And then I can celebrate with what? Sunday night football tomorrow night?
Yes, sir.
Denver and Minnesota. That's how I'm going to celebrate.
Super Bowl
with
preview.
Sunday night football. You know, the way that teams are going and the way the league is going this year.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's a weird year.
It is a really weird. Joe Burrow goes from playing to not playing to out for the year in a span of what? A day? It was insane, the Joe Burrow story. And if you don't follow football, I understand. But he's in my opinion, a top five quarterback in this league.
I'd put Joe Burrow. And if you also don't follow football, the two teams that were pretty much picked to be in the AFC Championship again this year are really having just an off year, and that's Buffalo and Cincinnati.
You'd have to put Kansas City in that mix for sure. But Buffalo and Cincinnati were legit contenders.
Correct.
I would agree with that. And what was crazy was going into the Thursday night, I don't remember hearing anything about there being problems with Joe Burrow.
Nobody did.
And
it wasn't until the cast and the wrist guard made its appearance on the walk down from the flight, basically, is what it was.
And all of a sudden now he's done for the year.
It escalated quick. I thought it was a burner account when I saw it on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, I swear this is not real.
Just absolutely insane. And then, of course, we all know about Kirk Cousins. But the Vikes picked up Josh Dobbs for a 6-round pick from Arizona. We all know the story by now. And their season, all of a sudden, they're a legit contender to at least make the playoffs. Who knows? They could run down the Lions. And Lions fans, the few that are in this neck of the woods, are probably angry about that. They're the Lions. They are the Lions. This is not a foregone conclusion. And then, of course, we all know about Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. It has been tough to be a big-time quarterback. And then you brought up the Bills going back to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Josh Allen. And there's other things going on in Buffalo, and I have a theory about that. But he's not good. He's not good right now.
Yeah, he's disinterested based on the expressions I've seen on his face this year. He just seems very disinterested and doesn't want to talk about it.
Do you remember when they were eliminated from the playoffs? I just want to run this by.
Yeah.
So they were eliminated from the playoffs, and our old buddy Stephon Diggs was very animated on the sideline and getting in his face. I think that moment had a gigantic carryover effect on this season and is part of the problem in Buffalo. After that, all the shenanigans of Stephon Diggs, and the defenders said, well, he just wants to win and so on and so forth. What he was doing is he was showing up as quarterback in that moment, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think there is a hangover associated with it. I think I even sent something out on social media that said, I'd get rid of Diggs. I would move on. Josh Allen is far more important to that franchise than Stephon Diggs.
I'm more of a Gabe Davis fan anyways when it comes to Bills receivers, so. Yeah.
But my point being is I think that it, while it's not everything, it's part of the deal.
Yeah.
And just a theory. And the Bills are a mess right now for sure. So who knows? There's a long way to go. Middle of November, Thanksgiving games coming up. And then, of course, things get very interesting in the NFL in December. But getting back to get the yard work done. And then we have the Vikes and the Broncos tomorrow night. By the way, later on in the show, our old buddy Chris Thomason, who used to cover the Vikes for the Pioneer Press, is in Denver and covers the Broncos. And he's going to join the show today at 5:35. Anyway, we're very late to the weather. We'll get into that in a moment. The first light rail line was built once upon a time between Mall of America, ran through the airport, under the airport, to downtown Minneapolis. And then a while later, a line was built between downtown Minneapolis and downtown St. Paul. Those are operational. We are waiting for Southwest Light Rail to open. Construction continues. It's gone over budget. There have been delays, but it will open later in the decade. But there is a chance there will be even another light rail line coming to the metro area, and that will be an extension going from downtown Minneapolis through North Minneapolis and then ultimately end up in Brooklyn Park. So the system is gradually expanding, and we're going to get into that. And Kyle Minulli is going to join us, communications administrator with Hennepin County Transit and Mobility. Kyle, thanks for joining us today.
Very good to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's talk about this extension. I know it's been rumored for a while. Where is it at in the planning process?
Yeah, so this route has been in development for many years. A quick bit of history: in 2020, we announced that we'd be looking for a new route. We had initially been planning on going through the rail corridor from Highway 55 up north, and it turns out that the railroad was not interested in sharing their right-of-way on our property with the project. So we had to pivot the project and saw that really as an opportunity to serve even more people and more key destinations, including key communities in North Minneapolis, where there's some of the highest rates of transit ridership in the entire state. There's a lot of people that do not own a car, rely on transit to get where they need to go every single day. So we really view that as an opportunity. And here we are 3 years later, and we have a new recommended route. So it's a staff have been deeply engaging with community, having lots and lots of conversations, and we've come up with a new route that we're looking to advance. So currently we're in the environmental review phase, which means that we're putting together a really detailed report and studying everything about this potential route to include to a final report to the FTA.
All right. Can you give us kind of a rough outline, since we're on the radio and we can't show visuals, but give us kind of a start downtown? I would assume the line would start right around Target Field.
That's exactly right, yeah. So the recommended route would come out of Target Field Station. It would work its way up 10th Avenue through the North Loop, 10th Avenue to Washington Avenue, and then it would head up Washington Avenue on the east side of I-94. At 21st Avenue, we would cross over the freeway on a new bridge that we're looking to build, which would be a new connection for the community to get to the river and get across the freeway, as well as give us an easy way to get the train across. It would go down 21st and then connect up with West Broadway, where it would continue on up into Robbinsdale, Crystal, and eventually end in Brooklyn Park.
And is this in the planning stage? And I know there's a lot of steps along the way, and then and then ultimately funding, construction, et cetera. What is a rough timeline look in all of this, Kyle?
Yeah, so assuming everything goes according to plan, we hope to be offering passenger rides in 2030. Construction likely starting around 2026, 2027.
Is the issues with Southwest Light Rail, and we're not going to put these projects together, but I brought up the delays there and some of the budget concerns about that and some of the budget overruns on that line. Does that impact this project in any way?
You know, it really shouldn't. We believe that there's capacity and there's the ability to complete both of these lines, absolutely. And that being said, you know, there's a lot of lessons that were learned on the Southwest line that we're applying here to the Blue line. For instance, you know, there aren't any tunnels, which has been a big sticking point on that Green Line extension.
Yeah, Kyle Minulli joining us. He's with Hennepin County Transit and Mobility. Kyle, on a project like this, I would assume input from all the communities involved is a big part of it.
It is a big part of it, yeah. And it's something that we've really been prioritizing and thinking a little bit creatively about how we're making sure that we're hearing from everybody. You know, we do the public meetings and the public hearings where people can show up and learn about the project and voice their opinions that way. We're also doing some creative things. Like, we've actually contracted with 10 local artists this year who are doing creative arts engagement projects. And that's the way, you know, they go into the community, into the parks. They'll host a zine making workshop, as an example. That's coming up here next weekend. They do, you know, kind of community mural paintings and offer really fun ways for people to come and learn about the project and offer their feedback. We've also had a community engagement cohort where we are actually contracting with local community organizations, cultural organizations, and neighborhood organizations to help supplement the outreach work that we're doing as well. So, you know, they have connections to their communities that we don't have, and they're in places that we're not able to be. And so, you know, we've contracted with up to 17 different community organizations to make sure that we are hearing from everybody. In addition to that, we do have a fully staffed outreach office with some really fantastic people who are out there every single day, knocking on doors, talking to businesses, answering phone calls.
Yeah, and Kyle, about the project itself and the planning, and once a route is determined, then the idea is, you know, where are people going to be able to get on and get off the train and access rides on the particular train? And I think the one thing we've learned from the original line from the Mall of America downtown and then from downtown Minneapolis over to St. Paul is that maybe this open station kind of on the honor fare system maybe doesn't work. Because when I visited Chicago, and we've taken our kids to Chicago a number of times and have used the L frequently, no fare, no ride. I mean, there's restricted access to the platforms and to be able to get on the train. Is there a thought going forward that maybe this Blue Line extension may use a model like we see in other cities like Philly or New York or Chicago?
Yeah, certainly. So, I mean, there are lots of different schools of thought on the station enclosure idea, and that's something that we've definitely been hearing a lot of lately. Metro Transit next year is going to be doing a pretty comprehensive study of, you know, what would it look like to retrofit those existing stations to have more controlled access to the platforms. So we'll be watching that study closely, and, you know, it does sound likely that they will be moving ahead with some station modifications to do exactly what you're talking about, and that's something that we'll certainly be watching closely and incorporating on this project as it makes sense.
Yeah, and would it be using the same rolling stock, if you will, cars that are already used on the system, so it would be completely interchangeable? I would assume that goes without saying, because I think some people think about North Star commuter rail running on, you know, freight lines up to Big Lake. This would be the same rolling stock, the same cars.
Yeah, so we certainly have it so that any of the existing cars could run on this new route as well. You know, we will be likely purchasing additional light rail vehicles just because we're going to have thousands more trips every single day, and we want to make sure that we can meet the demand and give everybody the rides that they need.
And then, Kyle, beyond that, I think a lot of people are wondering about funding. I know there's probably county involvement, state involvement, and federal involvement in a project like that. Is the project fully funded, or are there hurdles to cross on that part of it?
Yeah, so the way the funding works is there's typically a local share, which traditionally Hennepin County has covered, and they've committed to covering a local share for this project as well. And that's, you know, up to about half of the funding. And the rest of the funding typically does come from the federal government through what's called an FGA, or a funding agreement. And so we will, once we have a finalized route, be applying for federal funding to cover hopefully as much as half of the cost.
Kyle Mielen newly joins us, Hennepin County Transit and Mobility, talking about the Blue Line extension, and which would run from downtown Minneapolis northwest out toward Robbinsdale, Crystal, and ultimately Brooklyn Park. How do people learn more about where the project stands and kind of take a look at a map and what this thing will look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I direct your listeners to bluelineext.org. That is the main project website. And there's all the information you could ever want to know about the project, including an interactive map, which lets you look in kind of great detail on exactly where we're thinking of putting it, what it will look like. We have some renderings up there that show kind of what it would feel like in the community. Another website that we have that is really an engagement platform is yourblueline.org. And we've got a few different surveys up there, and we're also talking about a lot of the other components around this project, too. It's not just about building a train and figuring out where it fits, but, you know, there's a lot of investment that will come along with the actual transit project. And so we're looking at, you know, what are the robust strategies that need to be in place to prevent displacement and to build that prosperity in the community. So we've got a lot of information about our anti-displacement report and strategy on yourblueline.org, and like I said, some surveys that you can fill out too and tell us what you think.
And then would this be it for major transit projects or light rail projects in Hennepin County? Is this kind of the last big one on the board in the county?
You know, this is the last big one on the near horizon in Hennepin County for light rail. And we really look at light rail as kind of the backbone of our transit system, and it works closely with bus rapid transit and local bus routes to really have a full, complete, modern transit system that makes it easy and efficient to get where you need to go without having to drive. And so this would be the kind of last major leg of the existing planned light rail network. I noticed you mentioned we've got the Green Line that heads east. We've got the Southwest Line that's going to go west. It'll be an extension of the Green Line. And we have the existing Blue Line that goes south. And so this is really that kind of missing north leg. And we're excited to get that complete.
Are you aware, and I know we're focused on Hennepin County, and that's where this particular line would be built and ideally open by 2030, of any more light rail work in the East Metro? I know there's been talk about maybe that being extended at some point, but I haven't heard a lot about that.
Yeah, so I know that they are looking at the Riverview Corridor over in Ramsey County in St. Paul. I think that current project is what they call it, a modern streetcar. So it's kind of like a bus light rail hybrid almost.
Sure.
But that's still in the early planning phases as well.
All right. Well, Kyle, thanks for the update on this Saturday.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on, Steve. Thanks.
All right. There he is, Kyle Mianulli, once again talking about the Metro Blue Line extension going from Minneapolis ultimately out to Brooklyn Park. But some big hurdles to cross, approvals along the way, and then the big funding issue. And we'll come back and talk more about light rail and where it stands here in town in a moment here on News Talk. E3OWCCO. Follow up on light rail. Steve in for Shaletta. By the way, Doug will join us for Tech Talk between 3 and 4 today. I have a simple statement on our light rail system. I know the idea was, well, we're going to make the platforms open and aesthetically pleasing and so on and so forth. Until they fix it, no fare, no ride. Until you secure the stations, the platforms, no fare, no ride. And then they got to bump up security. The one thing when you go to Chicago, and I've gone to Chicago, we took our kids when they were little. We've taken them on the L. We've gone to Wrigley. We've gone down to the Sox Park. The name has changed so many times over the years, it's hard to keep track of. But the point being is even riding the L from Midway to the Loop or from O'Hare to the Loop. You don't get on the train if you don't pay a fare. And until they make that simple realization that you must secure the platforms and secure the trains and make sure people feel safe on the trains, you're going to have problems. So while they plan this Blue Line extension that they hope to open in 2030, I think it should be planned with the idea that the stations and the platforms are secure, and the motto should be no fare, no ride. You know, you just can't get on the train and ride around and cause problems. That there's just zero tolerance. And until they get that figured out, they're going to have problems. From our text line, City's One Plumbing and Heat Talk and text line, still no high-speed rail to get more cars and trucks off the freeways. Why is there no high-speed rail from Hudson to downtown St. Paul? From anyone I talk to, seems the only interested parties in the rail are developers. And how many people are going to be displaced? And we did get into that with Kyle. and they're working on that. All right, we got to run. All the news, all the weather at 3 o'clock.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Cook up a special dinner with USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone-in for $7.99 per pound. And for that special someone on Valentine's Day, Debbie Lilly Design Dozen Roses for $24.99. Large pack of 2-pound strawberries or 18-ounce blueberries, $4.99 each. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.